I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Haiti's new president-elect hasn't been sworn into office yet, but Michel Martelly knows he faces enormous challenges in trying to rebuild Haiti after last year's earthquake. One of the biggest challenges is helping the country's desperately poor people. Haiti is a divided country. A tiny elite holds most of the country's wealth, while the majority live in poverty. The World's Jeb Sharp reports from Port-au-Prince.
The divisions are stark. People are divided by wealth, by language, even by skin color, and there's fear and resentment on both sides. Louis Henry Morris thinks about these divisions a lot. He's a former factory manager who comes from a long line of Haitian intellectuals. He says the outside world is focused on Haiti's economy, but that's not his priority.
The frontline issue for me is the issue of relationships between people and people, between the rich and the poor, between all sides of society, all sectors of society. Until we actually focus on that first, nothing is going to really work here, because that's a real deep issue of the country.
Mars traces the gap between the haves and have-nots to Haiti's victorious slave rebellion more than 200 years ago. He says after independence in 1804, the elite who were closest to the colonial masters grabbed what they could of the country's resources.
But the foot soldiers, the peasants, those who actually were in the heat of the battle did not get their fair share of the resources of the country. And it's that struggle that is still going on here today.
And it's a struggle that won't be ended by paving roads and building electricity grids, says Mars. In his view, you've got to get people talking to one another, trusting one another, knowing one another. For the past few years, he's been working to bring rich business people together with gang leaders from the slums.
We are in the neighborhood of Saint-Martin. Actually, a pivotal neighborhood in Port-au-Prince, because it's right between the airport area and the center of town.
And because Saint-Martin was at the heart of the political violence that erupted when President Jean-Bertrand Aristide was forced from power in 2004. Businessman Yves Bourjolli's building supply store was looted during the riots.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, there was nothing left. I mean, they stole everything. There was nothing left.
Bourjolli joined the dialogues Mars helps facilitate through a project called the Partnership for Peace and Prosperity in Saint-Martin. We meet Bourjolli in his air-conditioned office. Armed guards stand watch outside. Bourjolli said he was afraid to meet slum leaders at first.
Because I said to myself, those people probably do not like me, or they will be asking me for money all the time. I was really hesitant.
But Bourjolli went ahead and joined the dialogues, which he found transformative. In retrospect, he doesn't even blame the mobs who destroyed his store.
I don't think the people were responsible. I think we are all at fault. I mean, the whole society is at fault. The whole society, we didn't do nothing for the people, so they get angry at themselves, at everyone, because we didn't do anything for them.
So let me make the contact here where we're going before we move on there.
Mars takes me down the road to meet one of the gang leaders, Jean-Wesner Guérin. Mars calls him a gang leader anyway. Guérin says he knows gang leaders, but denies he's one of them. These days, he heads the neighborhood committee that helps run the camp where people have been sheltering since last year's earthquake. We sit down to talk in one of the tents. It's sweltering. Guérin turns out to be less introspective than the businessman, Bourjolli, but he too says the dialogues have been eye-opening. Mars translates for him.
C'est pas seulement Bourjolli, c'est tout le monde qui est en business. Pourquoi t'es convié dans ce qui t'a dégagé? Non, tant.
There was a tendency in the old days to think that the person who's a bourgeois or somebody who has money cannot be friends with somebody who's poor. But it's not true. There were differences of color, maybe of means, and we were afraid of him. He was afraid of us. But when we sat down around a table, we saw that it was all a myth, that there was no need for us to fear one another.
That sentiment resonated when the earthquake hit last year. About 25 people involved in the dialogue project were meeting in a courtyard. Louis Henry Mars shows me the spot.
If we're going to die, we're going to die all together, because this building here kind of swerved towards us as we were standing in that yard there. Afterwards, one of the guys told me, "Louis, we were all going to die together." I says, "Yeah, there was not going to be any difference if I had a car and if you were walking or whatever. We were all human beings."
Mars loved that moment of togetherness just after the earthquake. He knows dialogue alone won't be a panacea for what ails Haiti, but he may well be right that all sorts of other interventions are doomed to fail until Haiti's rich and poor find reason to trust one another. For The World, I'm Jeb Sharp, Port-au-Prince.
You can see a slideshow of vivid images from the Saint-Martin neighborhood. It's at theworld.org.